Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is the Lamp and Light broadcast coming to you from Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry that takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is, to men as they are, without compromise or apologies, while at the same time speaking the truth in love, giving the lamp and light to all. Yesterday in our study on 1 Thessalonians, we were talking about not hiding our faith at the church, but to witness to others, and to make our faith apparent to those around us. Let's continue with that thought today. And now, here's our teacher and radio pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Do not keep the faith of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at the church building only. Some of you have vitamins that you take every day to both prevent sickness and to encourage good health. And you take maybe one a day. And that's good. Couldn't you at least one time a day give a tract with the plan of salvation on it? Whether it's in the mall, at the workplace, in the neighborhood, with those with whom you come in contact. The truth of the matter is, all of us could do more, myself included. You have somebody that you know is unsaved and you can't really go see them, but you could write a letter. You could send an email. You could even email to them the plan of salvation that we have on our sermon audio website. My friend, take the name of Jesus with you. Take it wherever you go. Never be ashamed of that precious name. He tells us there were devout Greeks. It refers to those who were already seeking the God of heaven through the Jewish synagogue. There's a contrast to the some Jews here. Because the some of them, the Jews, the some that believed, consorted with Paul and Silas, were of pure blood. In other words, they were born to a Jewish heritage. But then there was this group of Greeks, which may have had either mixed blood or were completely Greek. But they comprise a great multitude. And these Jews saw great support for their synagogue through these people. But now a great multitude of them were following Christ and leaving the synagogue. And also in this group were the chief women, not a few. Now this is speaking of the leading ladies of society in the community of Thessalonica. Do you realize that not only the poor, but the up and outers, you might say, the society people can be brought to Christ through the fundamental gospel of Christ? They can be brought without emotion, refinement, or materialism. You see, the Word of God is powerful, more powerful than a two-edged sword. And we need to simply deliver the gospel to these people without watering it down. Oh, we do speak the truth in love, but by all means, we speak the full truth. Unbelieving rabbis in Thessalonica could pressure the Jews, but they couldn't pressure the Gentiles. So God, through the preaching of the faith, establishes a church in Thessalonica with many of these Gentiles or Greeks becoming partners in the faith. And this happens in less than 4 weeks. But then there were persecutors of the faith. Verse 5 says, but the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. The Jews who don't believe we're told, are moved with jealousy, envy. They rely not on the Scripture or the Holy Spirit. So on what are they relying? Well, basically, they turn to the arm of flesh. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5, it says, "Thus saith the Lord." And by the way, the Lord there is in all capitals, telling us God Almighty. "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." He says the man is cursed that begins to trust in man and makes flesh his arm instead of leaning totally on the Lord. You see, true worshipers worship God in spirit and in truth, not in reliance upon the flesh. And so, they go to the baser sort. They go to that which pleases the flesh. And they gather a company or a group to rouse the city. They cause an uproar. Now, my friend, if you become fervent for the truth and you preach the truth in love, folks will fault your fervency as losing your cool or your temper. If you say strong things in defense of the truth, they will say you're unkind. Isn't it interesting that men will use very fervent language about politics, sports, and other things, and yet no one questions their loss of temper or cool? They think that we should be very calm when people tear the Bible to pieces. Oh, my friend, if anything calls for fervent and intense feelings, it is the defense of the Word of God against false teachings as well as against false translations of the Word of God. January the 8th of 2006, the Philadelphia Inquirer interviewed a Christian leader. He went on to tell them that Christian fundamentalism, which is what we are, those that are true to a foundation, those that are true to the Word and preach the Word as it is, to men as they are, he said Christian fundamentalism, that is, those who preach the Word, that there's only one way to heaven, that preach against sin, there is a hell, and we should separate from the world, believing word for word inspiration and preservation of the Bible. That's the ones he's talking about when he says Christian fundamentalism. These people, we Christian fundamentalists, were lumped together with Muslim fundamentalists who blow up people and buildings, and secular fundamentalists. Radical atheists as well. Now, the man was Rick Warren, who is a preacher and a religious author. And so, he's made this attack on Christian fundamentalists. Now, they make broad statements and say, oh, they're so unkind, so irrelevant, so unloving, and so hateful. And they may find that that might be true in a few places. There's always tares among the wheat. But that's not true of true fundamentalism, you see. Well, this is what the priests in Thessalonica were doing when they spoke out against the fundamental preaching of the gospel by Paul. They did the same thing to Jesus as well when he preached. And maybe someday in America, to preach against sin or just to say some of the things that I'm saying right now may lead to lawsuits, maybe even jail time. Martin Luther made this statement: exposition on every portion of the truth of God, except precisely that little point which the world and the devil are at that moment attacking. If I cower to stand at that point, although I speak, I profess with loudest voice and clearest exposition every petition of God's truth, except for that point that the world and the devil's attacking, he says, I am not confessing Christ. Where the battle rages, there the loyalty of the soldier is proved. Well, in our text here in Acts 17, Jason and the believers had to have more than opinion. They must believe that there is a hell and that Jesus is the only way of salvation. And taking this stand, my friend, would cost them something. Now, since we're laying this down here as the introduction to the study of the books of 1 Thessalonians, let me just take some quotes from both 1 and 2 Thessalonians about this area of costing you something to stand for Christ. In 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 6, "And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction, with joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia." In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 14, "For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men." In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 4 says, "So that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer." In chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, verse 15, "Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions," or that is, the doctrines which you've been taught, "whether by word or our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even the Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work." Then in 2 Thessalonians 3:13, "But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing." You see, it was more than just an emotional thrill that gives them endurance. It is a relationship. These men, although saved only 4 weeks at most, had a true heart commitment to Jesus Christ. Now, we've seen the preaching of the faith from the Word of God, then God giving them partners in the faith. We saw there were also persecutors of the faith. Now we see the personal attack and cost for the faith in verses 6 through 9 here of Acts 17 as we continue in this introduction to the book of 1 Thessalonians. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, "May the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today."
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD or cassette tape of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, the radio station by which you are listening, the date of the broadcast, and a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. We also welcome your comments on the broadcast and Bible questions. Again, you may write us at the same address, which is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the web at www.centralbaptistocala.org. No break. Click to the Lamp and Light. Again, that web address is www.centralbaptistocala.org with no break. This is your announcer, Jerry Banks, saying, "May God's peace be with all that are in Christ." Christ Jesus.